Celia Petrenko, you are in the process of recording all the Shostakovich symphonies, which is a huge project. What's been your relationship with the symphonies, and why do you think they are such an important and unique achievement for our times?
Well, I think that, first of all, they've been in my life since I remember me. They've been played in St. Petersburg and regularly, and every year. Even funny enough, they're still being appreciated, most of them, as a contemporary music in Russia. And of course, the top hits like the 5th, 7th, 8th, or 10th, they are well received and well attended. But when you put something less usual, like 12 or 11 or 4.
Oh, really? In Russia?
Yeah, it might scare the audience. So I can remember his music since the very beginning. And to be honest, it's the spirit of Leningrad. It's true spirit of Leningrad.
But it's also a chronicle, isn't it, of Soviet life? That extraordinary...
If talking about the historical context, I'm staying actually on a position about a bit more broad picture about his symphonies, because usually on the West is a lot of attention to the political side of it, while in Soviet Union and in Russia it's been absolutely opposite. The most attention has been about structural side and about the musical side, neglecting the political because it's been not allowed for many, many years. I think, first of all, it's a picture of his life. The whole cycle, in my point of view, is a huge biopic about the life of an artist in the 20th century under the Soviet Union regime. And not only reflecting the political side or historical side, reflecting his own life as well. Family life, relations with other composers, relations with the music society, his relations with some great musicians like Slava Rostropovich, for instance. It's a history of the life of an artist.
The first symphony, Vasily, was his graduation piece from the Leningrad Conservatoire. He was 19 and it rapidly became a big international success. Now, the first thing you notice about this piece is its technical mastery. What are your impressions of the work beyond that?
For me, it's a picture of the revolutionary Petrograd. For me, it's a picture of the young lad who's walking through the revolutionary city. It's not too nice.
Yeah.
Because the city lost a lot of glory. By the early 20s, there have been a lot of abandoned buildings. There have been shooting on the streets. There have been all kind of bandits. There have been paved windows. There have been a lot of accidents. But the guy is brave. And the whole life is in front of him. Because he's only 19, as you said. Mm-hmm. And that's his adventures. That's his journey. And that's what he's trying to achieve by the end. At some dangerous points, he realizes it's dangerous. Mm. But he has this kind of adrenaline, and he enjoys this moment. He enjoys his youth. And of course, it's a masterpiece. It's probably the symphony which has the longest writing period in the Shostakovich life. Because I think he had a lot of consultation with teachers and conservatoire. The interesting fact about it as well, that it's been premiered in Petrograd by then. And then in just about 6 months, it's been already premiered in the West. And this fact gave a huge boost to the career of the Shostakovich. Mm. And that simply because of the Glazunov, who'd been the rector of conservatoire, so the dean there, and who sent the orchestral parts and the score into the West quite illegally. Mm. It's the same Glazunov who'd been tracking Shostakovich since 13 years old, and actually got him into conservatoire very early. And he hasn't conducted the premiere of the symphony because he'd been old already and not able probably. But he'd been encouraging the conductor to do good work. And it's the same person, Glazunov, who did conduct the first symphony of Rachmaninoff at the beginning of the century.
Disastrously
drunk on stage.
Yes.
after what Rachmaninoff been sitting on the stairs, it's actually stairs exist till now in St. Petersburg Philharmonic, and been crying there just behind the stage and burned the score later on. So it's a paradox of history.
Mm.
And I think that in the First Symphony also a lot of inflation of Stravinsky, a lot of inflation of traditional Russian school.
It establishes many of the elements of parody and clowning that were to became masks behind which
he could hide his
disguise.
It's a lot of Petrushka in this story, because Petrushka been probably the biggest influence in the 20s for the students. Not Rite of Spring, fair enough.
Yeah.
Not Firebird, but Petrushka itself. Of course, after revolution, there have been a lot of disastrous things, the civil war and all this kind of terrible, terrible time. There have been about 20 million people died from suffering by then, just in 4 years. But there have been also good things, because the country slowly recovered from this disaster, and there's been this new economic policy, and Shostakovich himself been able to see on the streets new rich guys walking through this bizarre landscape of the demolished buildings. So it's all contrast and all surrealistic.
Mm.
And that's why in the symphony it's a lot of parody and a lot of contrast.
It's very interesting you mentioned Petrushka. I you know that's it's very well the prominence of the piano for a start is significant.
Well, he intended to write the piano concerto as well. And that's why it's one of the most difficult piano parts in the symphonies. Because the fragment from the piano concerto, which he elaborates into the symphony. So this part is, of course, very big. And the trumpet as a solo instrument, which also characterizes Stravinsky music.
It's, for one so young, is a very well-developed sense of tragedy, which you've already hinted at with, you know, the young man wandering through the ruins. And in the slow movement, that D-flat major slow movement, led off by the oboe and cello, with this menacing rhythm that keeps coming back, you'd expect a young man not to have such a well-developed sense of tragedy as he did, but clearly he grew up quickly.
I think the early child, because of his parents, and actually because of his ancestors, to be honest, because they found the heraldic tree up till the point of Ivan the Terrible. And then, funny enough, that their predecessors, the grandfather of Shostakovich, been a revolutionary in Poland.
Yeah.
And his father also been a revolutionary. He's been actually on the 1905, right, in the Winter Palace Square. And this feeling of tragic life of the human, I would say, it's funny, it's very characteristic for Russians. The main difference, in fact, and it's a little bit easier now, but still pretty much the same. When you have a chat in Russia with each other, when you ask how are you, on the West, the usual answer is I'm fine, okay. Or in the worst case at my house, it's Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But the people never give all their problems on you. Well, in Russia, if you ask how are you, you immediately have this swarm of all psychological and living problems just suddenly pouring you. And that's what kind of discussions normal people have all the time. So that's a sense of tragedy. Since you're really a child, you know about all the problems in the family.
So that's why he can never give this symphony a happy ending, really. I mean, it's got a quite a menacing ending. I love that moment where the rhythm from the slow movement returns in solo timpani, like this wall.
Well, that's been actually first time, I think, in the history when the timpani got this role of the actually instrument in the climax and the peak. So I think it's part of innovation, which he tried to bring immediately since he's been young and not established yet.
The coupling with this is the Third Symphony, which is one of the two early pieces. What do you make of this? Because it's subtitled May Day. On the one hand, it's celebrating a new order of things, but on the other, the language is quite experimental, really, after, you know, the second and third are really quite experimental.
It's experimental because I think because of many reasons. First of all, the art, the visual art around was all these placards. And that's what the musicians by then, in the late 20s, early 30s, they tried to deliver as well. What's been declared as a policy that less emotions, let's work, let's do all white and black, not white and black, red and white, most of the time. While white was a bad power, the evil power. And that's what he tried to do. And he declared that, I think for him it's been a declaration that, all right, the conservatoire is finished. Now I can prove my own language. So he tried to abandon this relation with Petrushka, with the same things, with the old school. As every young man, it's a little bit neglecting of everything. And of course a lot of experiment, this creation in second, for instance, creation from chaos, from nowhere, is all the voices. And in the third as well, it's one of the most difficult beginning of the symphonies, in a way.
Do you think it's technically good? Because it seems to me to be technically less accomplished than the first.
I think that actually Shostakovich
to balance, really, for example.
really approved this quote from Brahms when the composer, the critic actually asked the Brahms, what's the most important for a composer? And then Brahms answered, a razor. So the most important is not to write notes, but to know how many notes should be scrubbed out. And that's what Shostakovich had later on in mind. And he confirmed it, that he thinks it's the same. Talking about the Third Symphony, I think that the harmonically, and especially polyphonically, it's much more complex piece than the first. You just don't hear half of it, because it's all hidden behind.
That's the point.
It's actually, I think, one of the problems of contemporary music. Now, I had a chat with a few composers. I love to conduct contemporary music and do a lot of pieces. Just a few weeks ago with the new symphony by Emily Howard premiered. The problem is composer nowadays sit at home and have ideas and write them down and write some music. And then suddenly he has a commission. And usually it's what? 15 minutes overture, no more than that, and then the commissioners usually dictate it should be in brave mood, or you know, middle section is a little bit slower, and then this hilarious ending. And meanwhile, composer have ideas for 45 minutes of music inside his head. And then he's trying to squeeze those 45 minutes inside the 15, all vertical and horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in a page you have about 20 lines together. You could be different emotionally. And I had discussions with different composers asking them, you know, what does this mean in this page? And then a composer answering that, oh, this line is about the love story, this line is wartime, this love is a philosophical, this line is a little rhythm somewhere behind, this is the sounds from the kitchen. And it, that's all in a single moment. So you can't recognize what's going on. That's, I think, the case why the third and the second symphonies are so complex to understand. But third, I would say, is a little bit different. Second, Shostakovich admitted that he struggled with words by then, and it's been very difficult for him to write because it's been commissioned in a short time. While third had a bit more time to think about for him. And he said that it's his vision of the revolution and the May Day. And the final, of course, is quite celebrative, but nevertheless, music is quite celebrative. Mm-hmm.
You alluded to those wonderful posters of the period, those propaganda posters. The ending of this piece, the setting of that poem, sounds a little like They Look, doesn't it? And that's rather historically rather charming in a way.
I don't know, to be honest, what I would prefer. And what everyone would prefer. To have this complex world when you don't know what is good, what is bad. When everyone could be observed from different point of views. Or the world when you know for sure what is good and what is bad. It's probably not true, but you really have this opinion while it's everything grey. Nowadays, the grey part of the life is huge, and the white and black parts are very, very small comparing to that all.
Mm.
So, in a way, I'm a bit jealous for people by then, because they really knew what to do. There have been good people and there have been bad people. They both side, they knew what is a fight, what they're looking for.
Mm.
And that's what about these posters.
Mm.
I think in the third symphony, in my point of view, there are already this dark irony of Shostakovich, because he already started to understand what's going on in life and where it's all leading to. That's been after death of Lenin already and after this Trotsky story. So he have seen what changing in the country and how the Jugash really goes to the power and what's the change in the policy, what's going on with all the ex-intellectual society.